Well, as we know, Tasmania is marking an anniversary today, one that no one really wishes ever existed. And that, of course, is the 20 years since the tragedy at Port Arthur. But while we take a moment to reflect on that, let's also turn our minds to the present reality of the community of the Tasman Peninsula and also its future. The Three Capes Track is Australia's newest natural attraction, an ambitious bushwalking track that leaves from Port Arthur and winds through 46 kilometres of cliffs, sea views and pristine national park. It opened just before Christmas and, well, it's going to be world-renowned. Leon Compton is joining us from Tasmania. He is the presenter of Mornings on ABC Local Radio there. G'day, Leon.
G'day, Cassie. How are you?
Just before we get to this incredible feat of engineering this track, how is the ABC marking this sad anniversary?
Cassie, much more quietly than you might expect, I think, if you're listening to this on the mainland at the moment. There's been a lot of talk and a lot of consideration in the lead up to this anniversary as to how exactly we were going to talk about it with the level of sensitivity that you need to give the most touchy subject. You'll be aware that there's a significant commemoration service coming up. You know, there'll be politicians of all stripes and colours attending. And for those that want to, from the community that were affected, and of course for the many that lost loved ones from around the country and around the world, they'll be gathering there too. But on radio, I'll be talking with the present day mayor and spending about 10 minutes an interview I recorded with Neil Noy, who was the mayor of Tasman on the day of the Port Arthur massacre, and talking with him about the years that followed as a community that was broken by events, torn apart, tried to get back on its feet.
It's such a difficult balance to strike because in no way would you want to be seen to be ignoring it and to be turning away from what happened. But at the same time, you don't want to resurrect awful memories. You don't want to be harping on it at all. So, yeah, it's a difficult balance to strike.
And there's another part of that as well, which is that the Tasmanian community have decided to a person that one of the punishment that they can give the perpetrator of these killings, is that his name never be mentioned and that these crimes are not talked about. This was a person who sought infamy through what was done. And the community is determined that not be any give him any satisfaction for achieving that. And so there is this sense that people do not want to talk about this and provide, you know, any succour to the person who pulled the trigger on that day.
Well, let's take their example and leave that where it is. So this track, the Three Capes Track, is an extraordinary feat. It's cost, $25.3 million. It's 46 kilometres long. It's kind of unrivalled. But I also know that there's a lot of controversy around this bushwalk by many Tasmanians who feel maybe that it's unlocked a pristine area of the Tasman Peninsula, and also that the price you have to pay to do it, which is $500 or $400 concession to do this four-day walk, three nights where you sleep in cabins, which are national park cabins, is a bit expensive.
Look, my understanding is that these are incredibly luxurious cabins by their standard. One of my friends who walked the track got off the boat, and we should mention that you need to take a boat to get to the starting point of this track, got off the boat and looked at this architecturally designed masterpiece and said to herself, "Oh my God, I wonder who lives there." And then she was told that it was a place that, and there'd be many like it along the track, that she would be staying, and was wowed by it. So it's incredibly well done, as you know. The other thing is that for those that were critical of this, and I suppose I'm sharing a personal view, for those that were critical of this, if your desire, if your passion, if what gets you off in the world is spending days in the middle of nowhere wading through leech-infested mud to climb a mountaintop, Tasmania can provide that for you in spades. There are any number of places you can do it. And if you want to walk parts of the Three Cape Track for free, you're still welcome to do that as well. But you're right, the glamping, the zhuzhing that this track has been given has certainly not just got people talking, but importantly for a state that's a lot of our future is built on tourism, has got people coming here in droves.
Well, let's describe the experience. So people arrive in Port Arthur and spend whatever amount of time they want to take there. They then are taken by boat to a beach further out on the peninsula and walk for a couple of hours to the first hut. Now, people have to carry their own food, sleeping bags. The huts provide a mattress, cabins and cooking facilities. But you also have to carry out everything you brought in, and that means all of your rubbish. So all your food, packaging, etc. needs to be carried out. And also you have to carry water with you. And because each day is quite long, you'll be carrying at least like 2 litres, which is heavy. So it's a pretty arduous undertaking for anyone. What is the scene? What kind of walkers are being attracted by this walk?
You've described some of the tougher sides of it, but you don't have to carry a tent, so that's nice.
Yeah.
You don't have to carry a stove, so that's good, or any of the cooking sort of accoutrements that go with it. But it is glamping. I mean, the track is beautifully laid out, and it's what's known as a dry boot track. So in other words, at no point do you have to walk through mud. And that's, you know, on the one hand says, oh, wow, the track's quite engineered, but on the other hand is seen as environmental best practice because people aren't forging their own tracks. So you don't find that, you know, when a puddle forms, everybody's forging new tracks and knocking over new scrub to try and carve their own way. You get through the track with your boots essentially dry, which is good for the environment too. So it's more of an all-ages event. And one of the things on mornings on ABC local radio we do, particularly in summer, is there is an almost endless number of stories of walkers being rescued by the local rescue helicopter. And I can tell you that while the Cradle Mountain Track and the Southwest Cape to the Southwest Track features almost daily, Three Capes hasn't really featured that much,
yeah.
Which says
4 months. 4 months in, give it time.
Yeah.
What do we know about the impact on the economy of the Tasman Peninsula and also its community?
It's been significant. So, as you said, people come, and I think your words were, you know, spend however amount of time at Port Arthur. Almost everybody who comes to Tasmania visits Port Arthur. But we know that visitor numbers are up there and at record levels. People are coming and staying to see some of the agriculture and to taste the food that's being generated around this way and then get on the track. So you've got this sort of shoulder period where people are coming down and staying. And this is desperately important for a community that's, you know, even after the Port Arthur massacre, I caught up with Neil Noy, who was the mayor at the time, and he was talking about how they had to do a road show around Australia to get people coming back to this part of Tasmania because it was just, it's so desperately important. And now things are booming, Cassie.
Mm.
It's hugely important.
That's fascinating because I know that, I mean, obviously the impact was immense and there was marriages broke up and people had to leave because their work dried up and the economy really ground to a halt there. So dealing with not only the kind of social impacts, there was a whole lot of other big problems going on. It does seem to me that this is a whole new group of people being attracted to that area. So I'm wondering whether it will bring in a big amount of international tourists and give that economy an even bigger kick on.
I suspect it will. At Port Arthur at the moment, there are Mandarin-speaking guides, which for a place that is the most monocultural in Australia, is something to see, Mandarin-speaking guides taking tours around Port Arthur. So that's really helping things grow. And the other phenomenon down here is tree changes, fleeing the mainland, some climate refugees, but people who, you know, for a fraction of the price of a house on the mainland and probably for the cost of your stamp duty if you're listening to us in Sydney and Melbourne, can find the most beautiful shacks along the waterfront in that part of Tassie, grow your own veggies, walk on the beach every day, not too far from a general store, and start new lives. And that's pulling a lot of people down as well.
And I hear that there's I hear that there's a luxury hotel site being slated for near the Port Arthur site.
I think you'd be insulting it to call it a 5-star. I think they're aiming for 6.
Oh, really?
This is the mob that own the local casino. They're a big player in the hospitality game in Tasmania. They're called the Federal Group. And I am told that when they built their other 6-star resort on the east coast of Tasmania, the roof panelling was made out of the rarest timbers and took almost a year's supply of Tassie's rarest and most beautiful timbers to put the design features together. So they're building a facility down there, and they say that it'll be off the drawing board, I think, around 2018, 2019. So that'll be interesting, but of course not too many of us can afford to stay there. There's great camping grounds and whatnot there as well.
On RN, we're talking with Leon Compton, who is the mornings presenter for ABC Local Radio in Tasmania about this renewal of life in Port Arthur and the Three Capes track in particular, which is a newly opened bushwalking experience that people can, well, undertake if they're strong enough, brave enough, and some say rich enough to do it. Costs about $500 to do the 46 kilometres. Leon, it's called the Three Capes track. Currently, though, it only covers two.
Should it cost 33% less, Cassie?
Well, maybe people who've done the two capes should get a discount if they open the third one. So this is really the future, isn't it? I mean, is this the next step for that area to finish the track?
I think it is certainly one of the things that are going to be a foundation of tourism down here into the future. As we talked about earlier, the idea that people come not just to do the track but to stay for a period of time, that people might build a week or a fortnight in the Tasman Peninsula around that. And even talking with the mayor of the Tasman Peninsula, the man that was the mayor 20 years ago, Neil Noy, he's now an old man, but in talking with him the other day, even he felt like things like the Three Capes track and the other tourism activities that are building up around it, really, for those that are desperate not to think about the past and the anniversary we're reflecting on today, for those that are desperate to leave that behind, he really hopes that it is things like this that carry the peninsula into the future.
Mm. Well, I guess the nation is thinking about Tasmania and Port Arthur today, and hopefully there's a rich future in many, many different ways for that area. Thanks for talking with us this morning, Leon.
Nice to chat to you, Cassie. Catch you later.
See ya. On Life Matters, we're talking about the Three Capes track through the Tasman National Park on Tasmania's southeastern tip. It's been under construction for years and opened at the end of last year on December 23. And if you're a keen listener to RN, you'll know that our own Anne Jones and the Off Track program recently delved into the work and planning that went into creating the 46-kilometre track. She visited it just before it opened and met some of the people who were working on it. Just incredible. And Anne also took a bigger picture look at the issues and policies around the future of our national parks. Some fantastic listening, and we'll put a link to it on the Life Matters program page. It's not all agreement about developments like this. But put that aside, because right now we're going to meet one of the rangers of the track, Jessica Hancock. Welcome to Life Matters, Jessica.
Good morning, and thanks for having me.
Where are you right now?
At the moment, I'm in the third hut of the Three Capes track called Redacunna. So it's have my own little cabin out here that I live in while I'm out here, and it's a lovely morning.
And each day you dispatch one set of visitors and await the arrival of the next on the track.
I certainly do. It's really nice. I've had a few people ask me whether I get lonely out here, but of course not, because I'm meeting, you know, upwards of 30 and 40 new people every single day.
Now, tell us how you came to be doing this, because I understand that you used to be a guide at Port Arthur.
Yeah, so while I was doing my university studies at the University of Tasmania in Hobart, I was a guide at Port Arthur during my summers, which of course was the busiest period for Port Arthur, and I was an introductory tour guide as well as a ghost tour guide down there, and that was fun, and I really fell in love with the area, with the Tasman Peninsula, while I was doing that. And I'd come out here to the old Three Capes track on my days off and explore this really beautiful area. But there weren't many other people out here at the time.
No, it was pretty tough to do it without the track. Can you describe what it was like? Just bush bashing.
Definitely. So this area was a little bit notorious on two fronts. One was the leeches, which we still have out here. But thankfully, with a bit of brush cutting on either side of the track, they're kept off you most of the time, which is nice. But also water is a really big issue out here. So it's quite a dry area. The creeks out here are only semi-reliable, and so you really have to carry all the water that you need when you're coming out here for a weekend. And so I'd be carrying upwards of 8 litres of water just to make sure I'd be able to spend my time out here without getting dehydrated.
So that's 8 litres on top of all your food and your sleeping gear, and we know that it can get mighty cold overnight.
Yeah, you carry everything with you back in the day, you know. Sleeping mat, sleeping bag, spondonicles, everything.
And so they don't understand that you went off to Melbourne to do a PhD in literature. Is that right?
Almost, actually. Canberra. Canberra's right. Cooler than everyone underestimates it.
Now, that's a story for another day at a debate. But yes, and so you were doing that and you heard about the jobs going for rangers at Three Capes.
Yeah, and because this is such a special area for me, even though I hadn't quite completed my PhD yet, I'm still at the end of this year, I knew that I had to apply for the job down here to be one of those first host rangers introducing people to this beautiful part of the world, because it is very special to me and I wanted to share it with other people, and this is the best way of doing it.
And as I mentioned earlier, there's debates about opening access up to, you know, the national parks, etc. But for the first time, the average bushwalker is able to see these extraordinary vistas that had never really been accessible before. Describe some of the visions that people come across on this track.
Well, of course, the thing that people come for and the most dramatic thing out here are the incredible sea cliffs. So these are the highest sea cliffs in the Southern Hemisphere, getting up to 300 vertical metres above sea level, and you can stand on top of them without fences, which is really very special. We're just trusting people to be very careful out here. And you can stand and look down at Tasman Island and the old lighthouse down there and hear the seals barking down at the bottom of Tasman Island as well. And so there's all that beautiful drama out here. But it's also the little things that make it really nice. So there's vegetation types out here, different vegetation zones that range from kind of windswept coastal heathlands to rainforest on Mount Fortescue.
How do you feel about this, you know, people coming there now? And, you know, like it's an emotional project for you, I suppose.
Yeah, it's been really special. 4,000 walkers come and do the walk now, which is just incredible, because it used to be 500 to 600 people a year that would ever make it out to Cape Pillar. So not many people were able to experience it. I actually listened to the brilliant off-track episode that Anne Jones did that you mentioned earlier about what national parks are, and I thought some really good points were raised about that. But the important thing I think sometimes people forget is that people only care about nature if they've actually experienced it. And so this is a way of getting people back into nature in order for them to care about nature. It's a way of introducing people to a spectacular part of our own backyard. So 96% of the walkers are actually Australian walkers so far, who have never been able to get down here before. Many of them have only ever done day walks and have never spent a night in a national park until now.
Well, Jessica Hancock, the Three Capes Track and the Tasman National Park have a lot of assets, and I think you're one of them. Thank you very much for talking with us this morning.
Thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure.
Jessica Hancock, host ranger at one of the huts on the Three Capes Track. And as I mentioned, do check out those off-track programs for all the amazing work that Anne Jones has done on, well, really the details about that. Coming up, a story about a woman, a gifted horsewoman, who has a special empathy with horses, which she's been using to help people with disabilities.